Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning very thankful for your great love for us, that you have saved us through the incredible grace and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. While we are blessed with the knowledge of your grace and salvation, and everything that Christ has accomplished for us, we are amazed. And as we think about it, and think about it deeply, it's more than we can really comprehend that you, the Creator God, would care enough for us, the sinners that we are, to arrange, make provision for us to be given new life and forgiven, and especially when that provision is the suffering of your own Son beyond all suffering we can imagine. So we worship you, God, and thank you. We ask that you will bless us today. We ask that as we give our attention to the work that we as a church and the eldership have been involved in helping other churches and planting churches, and the work that we look forward to, that is new work, we ask that you will use this information to encourage us, to give us a more robust and view and understanding of the great privilege you've given us in doing this work and being involved in these churches. We ask that you will use this information also to give us a passion and a joy to see what you do and what you continue to do. You still save sinners. And you are still militantly at work establishing true churches. Churches that are not perfect, because no church is perfect, but true churches that are striving to center their worship and their lives on you and on your word. Help us, God, to be even more useful. What little we've done is little. And anything that we've done obviously has been what you have accomplished in and through and around us. But we pray that you would involve us more as a church, enable us to, as a church and as the eldership and the officers, to think even more militantly about this work of planting churches and helping struggling churches as we have opportunity and resources to do so. Now, God, I pray for myself. I ask that you'll give me strength and grace today, both in Sunday school and in the preaching. Bless our time of worship together, we pray. We do ask that you will bless Pastor Vincent and care for him and his work with Savior's Grace Church in Michigan. And bless the people there and the members of that church as they go through this process of making changes that are for them dramatic. And although change is good, we also know that even good changes are often hard to put in place without some difficulty. So we ask that you will bless that process, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to give you a brief and quick report on our work with Sovereign Grace Church in San Angelo, Texas, and then move on to the active work that we're involved in with the church plant in Bonham and with an established church, and by established church, I mean it was actually, they actually gathered about 2 years ago, but called us and asked for help in becoming a Reformed Baptist church. It's a small church, but we are now kind of knee-deep in helping them. We're very excited about that opportunity, and there are reasons for that. Then I want to very briefly highlight the opportunities we have and things we are engaged in at a beginning level with another church plant and an existing church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I wanted to overview that with you very quickly because I would like you, as we even begin, I would like you to see how very active we are and have been in this work of helping other churches and planting churches, and the great privilege we have in doing that. We have that privilege for a couple of reasons. One is that we not only have three elders, but we also have a very capable and qualified, gifted brother, another preacher in B.J. LaGrosse, who's helped us in some of this work. So we're blessed as a small church to have these resources, and we also have, by virtue of our relationship with Foundation, some financial resources that come alongside these projects and help sustain them also. So let me begin then with talking briefly about Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. First of all, this is a church we've been involved with for some time, 6 or 7 years. I won't go into all the history of that, but about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago maybe, the pastor of that church resigned, and when he resigned, the church's attendance was 7 or 8 people a week, and including the pastor and his family. The church has a small facility, owns its own building, and so at that time, in consultation with our eldership, we decided that, as you know, I would resign here, accept the call to pastor out there, which I did for about 9 months. And during that time, we did some work, and it was fruitful. We ended up with locating a pastor that God, in his providence, had called to serve there. He's serving there faithfully, David Randall. So I wanted to let you know and kind of give you an overview of what occurred during my time out there. These are some pictures, and I'm not going to dwell on them a lot. I'm going to point out some specific things to you. These are some pictures of what the facility looked like when I first went out there. If you look closely, you'll see how the roof is damaged. Right above the church sign, there's a white oval. They used to have a sign up there that said Primitive Baptist Church. And then you can see down the wall that the paint's degraded. There are windows that were closed up because people were breaking into the church. Here you see the parking lot beginning right at the end of the gutter and leading up to the sidewalk. You can see one of the doors over here, and I think I have a better picture of the door. There are the doors. This door was on the your left. That's a piece of metal in there. It was kicked and broken out at some point, and the metal was replaced. On the left side of the building, there were probably about 350 trees of various sizes that had grown up around the air conditioning unit you see in the back there. And then behind the church, the additional part of those 350 trees were there also. We later removed all those trees. You can also look and see the condition of the paint. No fascia exists up here on the wall. The electrical system was probably 50 years old. When we got electricians in there to replace it, they were concerned that they were surprised that we had not had an electrical fire. The church had not. Here is a picture of that air conditioning unit, and you can see the trees extending all the way back in there. We got in there and spent an entire Saturday with a group of the men in the church cutting all those trees down and spraying them with this spray that really does kill stumps. But you have to wear a respirator, and it's really nasty stuff. There's more pictures of the trees. You can see the degraded paint condition of the building. Better picture of that oval. This is the parking area on the side, the right side of the church. This is a picture of the roof. We had the roof replaced. The roof was replaced. So this is a picture of the inside, and I don't know if I have a follow-up picture in here, but if you look at behind the pulpit there, the wall is painted kind of a chocolate brown, and that that really affected the ambiance of the room. Some more. Oh, you'll see them in another picture. You see these prayer benches here at the front for the altar call. Those were like the first things I got rid of. Some more pictures of the parking areas and the grass along the side. This is when we began construction. By now, the roof has been replaced. What you see on the wall right there is asbestos siding. And you can see where some of it's broken. I don't know if you know anything about asbestos, but there are rules for removing, OSHA rules for removing asbestos and how it's supposed to be handled. Well, Emilio, the guy in the hat back here, is an independent contractor with whom I had to speak Spanish. But Emilio and his crew tore it off in a couple of hours and threw it in the back of his truck and took it someplace without mask on or anything. So here they are now, and they had to tear off this back part up here. All of that was rotted. I'm just giving you kind of a quick overview. I'm not going to dwell on these pictures a great deal. There's Emilio, quite a guy, hardworking guy. This is what it looks like after they put new siding on, and that is, I've forgotten what they call it, hardy board siding. There's another picture of the back after they've finished their work. Some more pictures of the back, picture of the top before it's painted. This just gives you a picture of the condition of the sidewalk. This was my attempt to kill the grass, our attempt to kill the grass in the sidewalk and some of the other grass out here. The part of the parking lot you see there is actually asphalt, but it's all degraded, overgrown, with the grass taking over most of it. There's another picture of that, and this is Joseph. And Joseph and I started working to dig up all that old asphalt. And that was quite a job until, and I'm not sure what we have here.
Got a couple of videos in there somehow.
Huh?
You got a couple of videos in there somehow. So they're all of like.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to do to deal with that, so I'm just going to try to get past it.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, there he is. Yeah, that's what I was trying to show you. Okay, that's part of what we've dug up. Now, This guy's name is Joe. He rode up on a bicycle and said, I can help you guys, after we had worked there for 2 days. And Joe then enabled us, actually Joe did most of it, to finish what we were doing in the next day. He was like a machine. This is what the front looks like, the parking lot, after we completed that. And that's the side parking lot area. And this is after it's it's been washed down, wet down. And that was, we did not have to remove all of the asphalt on this side. The asphalt contractors we worked with said we did not have to do that. That's still pictures. Now, this is after the parking lot was replaced. That's the front. The front, you can see part of the side, down the side, and so on. Really nice parking lot. Since there was a lot of grass in there, it surprised me, but the grass actually grew back through the asphalt. And the contractor had saturated the ground with herbicide, but he told me in advance it's going to grow back through some of it, so you have to spray it every week. Every time you see a green sprout come up, spray it, saturate it. So we finally got control of the grass. There's a nice picture of the parking lot going down that side. Look at the degraded paint on that wall again. There's the front. Now, this is the what turned out to be the fellowship hall. It's kind of the large room at the back that siding was put on. This is asphalt tile, 8-inch square tile. You ever see 8-inch square tile? It's asphalt. So, sorry?
It's asbestos, not asphalt.
Asbestos, that's right. They both start with A and they're pretty close together. We were able to buy a new refrigerator. The cleaning of this area was an incredible task. That's kind of the back part of that area. And then we got new flooring put in with some pictures on the wall. And that's what it looks like now. This is our first lunch in there before we had the flooring put in. But I didn't get a good picture of the tables, but there was seating back there for about 40 people. It was a little crowded, but these are some of the young people that were attending then. New front doors, steel front doors. I was really excited about those. There was I don't know, some kind of steel problem. Took us almost 3 months to get those made for us, and they were made in the United States. But those are the new doors. Now, there's a picture with the new doors in and the new parking lot. New doors, new parking lot. We've gotten rid of the grass and the sidewalk. New doors, new doors. This is now what it looks like painted. If you see that sidewall that was white, the whole facility on the outside is painted. The front, let me go back to the front. The front now has three different colors on it. It has the color on the inside, which you can't really see very good, kind of the chocolate brown on the pillars. Now, this is the night before David Randall was ordained. This was a Friday night. And these are all the folks that were there. A number of people from Heritage Baptist Church in Louisiana. Shreveport, Louisiana. And they were there because David was actually a member of Shreveport. This is his ordination service. Steve and Matt and I and BJ were all involved in that ordination service. BJ had preached for us out there during some of the time that we were helping. After the ordination service, there was a restaurant downtown You remember the name of that place? What? Miss Hattie's Bar and Cat House Lounge. That really was the name of it. It was a, and when I went in to make the arrangements, they had various, I wouldn't call them statues, but that I had to ask them to remove. And they were very nice about it. So that's after the lunch. This is the pastor now, David Round and his wife Terry, and the guy with the really silly smile is me. David was the pastor of, he's a seminary graduate. He pastored a church plant in Longview, Texas, that we helped support also for a while. That church plant did not work out, and the timing of that fit in well with the opportunity to call him, offer him, extend a call to him to consider San Angelo. So he and his wife have been there now since February of 2020, almost 2 years now. This is my friend Moose Coates, and that is a sniper's rifle, and he has about 14,000 acres. His wife Linda is a member of this church. Moose is a professing Christian, hasn't joined the church yet, has been struggling with cancer for a number of years, but he and his brother set up a firing range out there with targets at various spaces. The farthest target's 1,000 yards. It's the first time I ever fired 1,000 yards. I actually hit the target a couple of times, which is, anyway, Moose is real. Moose is a fine. Huh?
That's
yeah. Moose is a fine guy. I asked David for a brief report prior to this morning. He said their core group is still cohesive. They are involved in outreach activities. There are a number of things in San Angelo. Like they have the international goat roping contest, stuff like that, you know. But at all of those things, they have places where you can put booths, and they have state fairs or county fairs. So he and a number of people in the church are attending these and talking with people and handing out literature. They've added, there may be more than one member they've added in the last year, but I know they've added one member. And in addition to that, he told me that there is another lady who is in the process of membership right now. So we're excited about that because they really had not had added any new members in several years. Plus the membership, I don't know exactly what the membership is now, but the membership when I left was 14 people. And we regularly had more than that in attendance, and sometimes it was less than that. Unfortunately, when COVID struck, it really hit the church hard, and there were times that David was almost preaching to himself, but he's a real faithful guy, had Sunday school and worship service in the middle of it all. So they're back to having their regular services and their fellowship meals every week. David and Terry are very active in practicing hospitality. They have people from the church into their home, and they usually do it one couple at a time, at least twice a month, sometimes more frequently than that. So please pray for the work in San Angelo. The foundation provides some supplemental funding for them and have guaranteed that for a total of 5 years, beginning in February. David will have 3 years left under that arrangement. But in addition to that, there were funds left over from the Longview Church, which, by the arrangement we made with them, had to come to the foundation to manage. And we invested that for San Angelo. not for use of the foundation in general. And if those funds continue to earn even close to what they're earning now, by the time the 3 years are finished, he will have at least enough funds to continue another 2 years and possibly three. So we're very thankful for the Lord's provision for that. Any questions about San Angelo? Okay. Now I have to figure out how to get back to this. Okay, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, Bonham, Texas. I'm going to give you, before I show you the pictures, give you just a very brief introduction, show you some pictures, just to give you a feel for this church plant, and then talk in a little more detail about the church plant there. This church plant is actually the result of a church split. And I said I would talk in a little more detail, and not a lot, later as we go through this. But the church that split was Grace Reformed Baptist Church that was meeting at that time in the same facility that Sovereign Grace is now meeting. Grace Reformed Baptist Church is also a member of the Texas Area Association of Reformed Baptist Churches. and I'll talk a little bit about that also, but not a great deal. The church split December 31st of 2019. Sometime in January, I was in a conversation with one of the elders that was part of the split. And there were two elders, and he split away from the other half of Grace Reformed Baptist Church. Anyway, I was talking with him. His name is Dale Sturzer, and I discovered that the church is split, and that there was a group of people that might be interested in establishing another Reformed Baptist church, and I'm always interested in planting churches. So that began a series of conversations that resulted eventually in Emmanuel sponsoring a church plant, and this church plant in Bonham. So that's how we are involved, and that's how we came to sponsor this church plant. This is Mark Landers. Mark visited here. I don't think he preached or taught here, but he visited one Sunday. Big guy, had a big family with him. He has six children. So this is Mark. They began services February 7th of 2020. No, February 7th, 2021. I'm sorry, this past year, February 7th, 2021. Mark began teaching through the confession during the Sunday school period. This is Rob Clay. Through an email that I received from Jeffrey Gonzalez, who had served as an intern here, who we knew through IRBS, I found out that Rob was leaving a church he was pastoring in Nebraska and coming to Texas looking for a church to serve. Now, Rob had never served in a Reformed Baptist church, never been an actual member of a Reformed Baptist church, but was fully confessional. And as you know, he's taught and preached for us, a good preacher, very gifted man. Rob served there through August. About the middle of July, the 1st of August, he decided that church planting wasn't for him, and that really wasn't what God had called him to. He had been contacted by another established church in Lookout Mountain, Tennessee. He has since then been called to that church as a second elder in that church. We have been fortunate, or I should say, in the providence of God, blessed by God, because within the same week almost that Rob let us know that he was leaving, I contacted Jeffrey Massey, who's a pastor. He planted Redeemer Reformed Baptist Church in Redlands, California in 2014 and pastored that church since then. But his family and a number of other events have brought them to decide to relocate to Texas. He has a co-elder who's going to be taking over the church there. After talking with Jeff, he was very excited about the possibility of being called to serve as a church planter, pastor, alongside Mark Landers in Bonham. So Jeff is on his way. He preached there September the 19th, met the people, and spent some time with them. They were very excited about him. He's very excited. He and his wife are very excited about serving there and looking forward to it. He's actually moving in November and will actually begin his ministry there the 1st of December. That's another picture of Mark. These are some of the people during the beginning of the worship service. You may not recognize her, but that's my daughter Hannah. She went out there with me one Sunday, the one in the lower right picture. This is the beginning of a worship service, part of the worship service. Again, part of the worship service, part of the worship service. You can see the windows on the side. Beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. Now, this is another side, the opposite side from what you just saw. More windows and seating. This is the narthex, the entrance to the church. This is a historical landmark, this building. It used to be a Methodist church. Was built, I think, in the late 1800s. So that's the entrance. We have a little literature table there. This is the back of the sanctuary with those beautiful windows. This is Mark Lander's daughter and her boyfriend, one of his daughters. This is another daughter. This is a sound booth that with kind of a desk area that they've built in the back. This is the beginning of the fellowship lunch with them. There's a fellowship hall there also right next to the sanctuary that can comfortably seat about 60, 65 people. So they're setting up for lunch. That's Mark's wife, Rachel, another one of her daughters, another one of her daughters. He has four daughters and two sons. This is another picture of the inside of the fellowship hall. Still setting up food. And they have lots of food. And it's good. And all those desserts and crock pots and... This is a lady named Edie. When we were out there in the fall, probably October, November, about November, I think, Edie was accompanied, was part of our team when we were handing out flyers, going to stores, standing in front of stores, handing out flyers. She has a husband who's a disabled veteran from Agent Orange. Again... What? Yeah, lots of food. It was about time to eat, so I was focused on that as I was taking pictures. This is Dorita Cohen. She's a piano organist, one of the musicians they have. This is Mark Lander's mother. This is one of the attendees. This is Jeff Massey and his wife, Melissa. On your left is Dale Sturzer. He was the one of the elders of the prior church. He also owns the facility, and we lease the facility from him. The church leases the facility. There's Dale again. Right behind Dale is another one of Mark's daughters. She's in college. This is everybody getting food. This lady on your left is Kathy Sturzer, Dale's wife. More eating, more food. Dale. Again, a picture of the sanctuary from the front. From the front to the side. Side of the pulpit. This is standing behind the pulpit taking a picture. From the back taking a picture of the front. Beautiful sanctuary. This is one of the rooms that is used for a nursery room. We've set up for a nursery room. They're not operating a nursery yet because of COVID concerns right now and because they don't have people to staff it yet, but we're going to be working on that. That's a picture of the same room, nice large room. This is a smaller separate room. You can see there's a crib over here, so that's for crib babies. This leads upstairs. There are two large rooms upstairs. Jeff is going to have one of the landlord is going to convert one of them, put a mini split up there and use one of them for an office, the other for a library. And okay, so those are the pictures of Sovereign Grace, of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Bonham. The eldership here decided to, I had been doing, at the time that I began talking with Dale Sturzer, I was still pastoring in San Angelo. And so when I, even before I actually returned to Emmanuel, I began talking with Steve and Matt about the possibility of sponsoring the church there. And we had discussions attempting to try to bring about some kind of reconciliation and resolve some of the differences between the two prior elders of the previous church. We did that in the context of the association. Those discussions didn't work out the way that we would like them to do. We then decided to go ahead and plant the church. Pastor of the Grace Reformed Baptist Church filed a complaint with the association because we were planting the church and he didn't like the way we were doing it. So that turned into a problem. The association initially, after a truncated hearing, advised us not to plant the church. That decision was appealed, not by us, but by another church in the association. We then had some exchanges of information and another meeting set up for an additional hearing, and our eldership here decided, based on what the pastor of Grace Reformed Baptist Church had submitted, that we would relinquish the sponsorship of the church and pass it on to Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Ontario, California, where Stephen Marcadon is a pastor. It's a Reformed Baptist church. And the pastor of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in what is now Honeygrove, they're 20 miles from Bonham now. He agreed to that arrangement. So we're no longer officially the sponsor of this church, but that's just a paper arrangement, really, because we made the association aware of this also at the time that we offered this proposal. The church in California, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Ontario, then commissioned me in writing to be their representative and act for them. So really all of the oversight coming from that church is what I'm providing in coordination with that church and the people at Bonham. So that has worked out. I can tell you that One of the reasons why we made that proposal, I mean, there were two reasons, was because there was strain, serious strain in the relations in the association. And secondly, because we do not believe that the association has the authority or should recommend that any church not plant a church. And we base that on our understanding of the Great Commission. Those conversations now are continuing because the association agreed to pursue that discussion and examination as part of accepting our proposal. So that's where we are at this point with that issue. I wanted to let you know that issue so you would know that there were some issues. You needed to know that. Also, the first worship service at Sovereign Grace in Bonham had 54 people in attendance, and that included Steve Garrick and his wife, who preached that. He preached that first service, and then since then, the attendance has fluctuated, but it's kind of settled in on average of about 30 or 32 people. It's not the same people every week. There's a core group of probably about 26 people. And above that 25 or 26, then, there are a variety of people who come back. They're not all visitors, but they're not regular for a number of reasons. But we're greatly encouraged by that. When we planted Emmanuel, the first 6 months at Emmanuel, we were excited if we had over 30 people in attendance. So we're really encouraged by where Bonham is right now. Now, I also need to tell you that in the anytime you plant a church, there are going to be difficulties, and we're walking through some of those things right now. So please be praying for the resolution of some of the things we're dealing with at Bonham. Any questions about any of that? Yes. We offered that proposal in July of this year, and the actual official transfer was August the 5th. Now, the foundation's still heavily involved also in supporting some of this work. Okay. I'm sorry?
The two elders who split.
Yes.
Originally, one is still a part of this plant, correct?
Yes. He's not an elder or an officer.
Okay. And the other one, is he still a part of the Texas Association?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And do they still have a church?
Yes. They relocated to a small town called Honey Grove. There was an abandoned VFW building that they were able to buy. And so they're meeting, it's about 20 miles from Bonham, so that's where they meet. He's still a pastor there. You know, this is broadcast, so I can't go into a lot more detail. I do have a report about that thick, that if anyone is interested in reading the full story, I have about four copies of it. I'll be happy to give it to you and let you read it, loan it to you. You can just ask me and I'll provide it for you. Savior's Grace Church, Akron, Illinois.
I'm sorry, just to avoid confusion. Akron, Michigan? Yes.
That's true. I'll tell you why that happened.
A new abbreviation for Michigan.
Yeah, it is. It's Akron, Michigan. The reason why that happened was that we are within the last month, we've gotten connected with a church plant in Freeport, Illinois. And as I was typing this last night, I was thinking about what I could say about the church plant in Freeport that isn't even planted yet. Anyway, it's Akron, Michigan. I'll kind of briefly, I'm really out of time, but I can run a few more minutes. Briefly give you some information about Akron. There's a young man named Kyle Rote, who is the pastor. He grew up a Jehovah's Witness a few years ago, 4, 5, 6 years ago. He came to faith in Christ. Prior to that, he had abandoned any religion altogether. He came to faith in Christ predominantly by reading, but his wife had gotten him to attend a church she had been attending, which is called a missionary church. There are lots of them up there. And Kyle is an extremely smart guy. He really is, and has just an incredible engaging spirit and commitment to the Lord. And very early on, the pastor of this missionary church then, in conversations with him, then asked him to do some teaching, and after a while had him preaching occasionally. And the whole time, he's studying and reading. And one Sunday, he preaches against the prosperity gospel, name it and claim it kind of stuff, which upset the pastor because that's where the pastor lived. And so the next Sunday, the pastor came back and preached a prosperity gospel. You give $100, you're going to get $1,000 back, that sort of thing. So Kyle left the church fairly quickly and was after that, and then was attending various churches and attended another church in a small town there that was a missionary church, because there's several of them. And in talking with the pastor there, the pastor said, well, if you can preach, and I guess they had him preach once, he said, we will buy you a church building in Akron, Illinois, because there needs to be a church out there. And we don't care what kind of church it is. Just go out there and plant a church. So he went out there, had some family members and some friends that live in some surrounding towns, and a couple of them actually live in Akron. Went out there and started having services. 2 years ago, they organized. He had begun taking classes at Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary, and was doing well, very well in his classes. One of his first classes was on the confession, strictly subscribed to the confession. He, over the last 2 years, had accumulated a library of some 7,000 books. And to give you an example of the kind of student he is, the kind of reading he does, in talking with him about preaching, I said, look, I have a little book that was written some years ago by, it's Dabney, isn't it? R.L. Dabney. Have any of you ever heard of R.L. Dabney's book on preaching? Yeah, BJ. And Steve. That's how I heard about it, Steve. Well, he had already read that book twice. He's working full-time, trying to pastor, trying to figure out what a Reformed Baptist church is. So he looks online, finds ARBCA. Matt is a moderator of ARBCA. So he calls the ARBCA office, gets in touch with Matt, and says, I have this church, this is what's going on, but I don't know what a Reformed Baptist church is. Can you help me out? So Matt and I fly up to Michigan, spend a couple of days with him, worship with him, and then decide that we will get engaged with helping them. About 2 months later, not quite 2 full months later, I go back, and I've already sent him a set of bylaws. He hasn't been ordained by the church, so didn't even know anything about ordination. So we had an ordination service while I was there. We went through our order of worship, because their order of worship was singing four songs. No, their order of worship was Kyle would pray, they'd sing four songs, Kyle would preach, and they'd say goodbye. That was it. So I sent them a copy of our order of worship, talked to him about that, and then when I was up there, I had a meeting with the church in which I answered the questions about the bylaws, and they approved the bylaws. And then I went through the order of worship and explained everything we do and the reason we do it that way. Matt is up there this weekend to help them make that transition to that order of worship. They haven't used it yet. This is the first Sunday they will be following that order of worship. tile is now, because the foundation is providing support for him, he's full-time, plus being a full-time student, remote student, and so now he has time to put together a bulletin, which he didn't even use before, and we have given him the tools through Dropbox that it's easy for him to use a variety of the things that we use. So they have about 20 members in the church, plus about four children that are three children, I think. So it's predominantly, well, there's a good mix of ages in that 20 people, though. There are some older people, but they have some younger folks, too. Okay. This is the outside of the building and the parking lot. If you see back on your left, there's a ramp. You can't see that it's a ramp, but it is a ramp for wheelchairs. The Methodists put that in there. This is, to your left is the sanctuary. This is a kind of an entry area. They have coffee and stuff out there, books. Again, that's a picture of their little coffee bar. Again, the same room looking into the sanctuary. These are the entrance doors to the sanctuary, and the man in the blue shirt is Matt Vincent. The pulpit in the front of the sanctuary. Right now, they have no musicians. You see the screen. They project not only lyrics, but what they project are the lyrics, but they play people singing the songs that they sing right now. I mean, they play a recording of the songs that they sing. So we're going to be working on that with them. These are some of the people. Here's their sound. You can see their sound booth in the back. The missionary church bought this building for $40,000, and they sold it to Kyle and his group for $20,000. And they raised that money in about 8 months.
And they had no ties, Pastor?
I'm sorry?
Pastor Bob, they have no ties?
They have no what?
They have no ties to these folks who gave them the money?
No. There's no connection at all. There's the sanctuary. You can see that entrance area, kind of coffee bar area out to the side. This is downstairs. This is their fellowship hall downstairs and their table. This is Kyle's daughter, Elizabeth. She spent part of her summer working in the cornfields. Interesting thing they do, they strip the tassels out of the corn to make seed corn. Yeah. This is the kind of nursery area they have, and it's right next to the fellowship hall. They're connected. This is another picture of the fellowship hall. In the back, you can see the kitchen. Here's a picture of the kitchen. Nice facility. This is Kyle. When he was preaching the first time Matt and I were there, this is a picture of him. The Sunday I was there, he's leading, getting ready to lead prayer. You can see the screen in use. This is me preaching the ordination service. That's Kyle again, me again with my mouth open. This is the laying on of hands and praying and ordaining Kyle. This is a picture of one of the men signing the ordination certificate. All of the rest of them signed. This is a picture of the kitchen and some of the ladies in the kitchen. Ah, another picture of food. They have good food also. And this is a picture of their fellowship meal the Sunday that I was there. More fellowship meal pictures, more food pictures. This is Kyle. Kyle's mother's a serious diabetic. She's had to have a couple of operations this year. Most recently, she had to have another operation, I think, removing another part of her foot. So you might keep her in prayer. This is a very small church in a very small town, but there is no other Reformed work within a 200-mile radius. Steve Marquardt, the pastor of the church that is Sovereign Grace in Ontario, that's now the official sponsoring church for Bonham, his wife's family is from this area. And anytime they vacation there, they have to drive 2.5 hours to Detroit if they want to worship in a Reformed church. So one of the reasons that we are really interested in helping this church and putting it on a solid foundation is that Kyle is very interested in planting churches. And he's very excited about the possibility of going from Akron over to Bay City. That's a city of about 35,000 people. Akron only has 500 people, but it's surrounded by small towns with 2, 3, 4,000 people, so there's plenty of people to support a Reformed Baptist church there. But Kyle's very excited about the possibility of planting other churches. So we're thinking, you know, we try to think long-term with these things. We're thinking that if this church can, it owns its own building, if it can get on a solid footing enough to support even a bivocational man, that once Kyle finishes seminary, the seminary is going to grant a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, I think over a five-year period. It's that kind of program. Once he finishes that, and if the church can have a pretty solid foundation, we're thinking that Kyle can then move on, maybe plant another church and take advantage of that work there. So we're almost out of time. In fact, I'm way beyond time. It's almost 11 o'clock. Let me mention two other things. About a month ago, a man named Clifford Alcorn called Matt and said that a group of people in Lena, Illinois, that's kind of southern Illinois, had called him. He had once pastored in Lena, and asked him if he would come and plant a Reformed Baptist church. He's pastored in California. He pastored in Lena. He's a seminary graduate, mature guy, has a family of 5 or 6 kids. And so he was excited about it. But he'd never done any church planting, so he called Matt to see if he could get some help in planting the church, knowing how to go about that. So Matt and I spent some time talking with him, then connected him with a man named Chuck Rennie, who's a pastor of a church in Sycamore, Illinois, that's about 2.5 hours away from Lena. Lena is a very small town with about 1,000 people, but Freeport's 15 minutes away, has 25,000 people in Freeport. So Chuck Rennie has talked with Cliff, and they're working already. Cliff is moving, the first of November, and he's actually preaching, if he hasn't already, at preaching and teaching at the church in Sycamore, and they're looking very closely at how they can get engaged to plant the church. We've told them that Chuck Rennie and his church has never planted a church, so we've told them that we will be more than happy to come alongside them and help them in any way we can in planting the church. Finally, a friend of ours named Dale Crawford, he's pastor of a Reformed Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Trinity Baptist Church in Baton Rouge. It has in the past been a very strong church. They own their own facility. Dale is very, very mature. Excellent pastor and preacher, but over the last probably 5 or 6 years, the church has declined to about 17 people in attendance, 17 members. So I've been talking with him over the last couple of months, and if you have a pastor and a facility of an existing church, but it's at that level in their attendance, it's very much like a church plant. So he is interested in looking at what's done in church planting to see if the church can benefit from that. So I will be working with him on a website, but hopefully within the next couple of months or so, I'll be able to go down and spend a weekend, at least a weekend, and some other days with him, and we can spend some time talking and looking at what it might take to the things that we might be able to do in assisting him to strengthen the church. So please pray for Dale Crawford and the Trinity Baptist Church there in Baton Rouge. I'm sorry that we're out of time. If you have any questions about any of this, if you'd like one of the packets, one of the notebooks on the report of Bonham, I'll be happy to loan you one. If you're a church member or applying for church membership, I'll be happy to loan you one. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great good work that you do in continuing to establish churches. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He decides who the members of a church are, where churches will be planted. So God, we ask that you'll bless these churches. Father, today we pray especially for Matt Vincent and Kyle Rote and Savior's Grace, that you'll bless the work there and cause the church to grow. And bless Kyle in his work and his parenting and his work as a husband and in his academic work. We also pray, Father, especially for Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Bonham, that you will strengthen and maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in this church and glorify yourself in it, Father. Help us now as we commit ourselves to worshiping you throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.